This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you, man. Don't you just love your pastors? Yeah. Darren and Gamila, is it? Yeah. Did I say it right this time? Gamila. Amen. Well, you can be seated. It's good to be in the house of God one more time. I was in the prison this morning with Pastor Darrell and just had an incredible move of God. And I was just hoping they'd let us out, and they did. Amen. And so this morning, as I woke up this morning and the Lord put the Wizard of Oz on my heart, I was like, God, them people don't want to hear nothing about no Wizard of Oz. And so I was thinking about Dorothy when she was given those shoes. And Glenda told her, whatever you do, don't get those shoes. Don't get dislodged from those shoes. And to me, it's kind of an assignment she had to keep those shoes on. Many of you here today that God has, you have inherited faith in Christ. Amen. And the one thing you don't want to do is let the enemy take your faith away. And basically he was saying to her, don't lose your enlightenment. Don't lose your passion. And don't let anybody take these shoes off your feet. When I was thinking about that, that witch was trying to get those shoes from Dorothy. And basically what she was saying to Dorothy is, it's going to be a long trip. You're going to be in some storms. That's going to be some things down the road. And these shoes is going to play a big part in your life. And how many of you know that the enemy is always trying to steal our peace and steal our joy and steal our direction and our purpose? And I was thinking about that witch when she was talking to Dorothy, and she told her, I'm going to get your shoes. And that little dog, too. I'm going to get Toto. It's not when, it's how. We must do this delicately. Y'all remember that? But Dorothy hung on, didn't she? And what I like about it is in that story, you had Dorothy as she was going along. They all needed something. The Tin Man needed a heart. The Scarecrow needed a brain. And then you had the lion who needed some courage. And that's the way it is with the pastors in this church. They all have need, but they're trying to lock in the other people who has a need as well. And so as I've come out of Oklahoma, as we go to Psalms 103, I want to do something today that Christians don't like. Because we've just come out of Oklahoma City, and in our state, we just had another tornado that came down through Moore, Oklahoma, and tore it up again. And the news in Oklahoma City is that some are saying, I'm going to build again. And others are saying, that's it, I've had enough. And in the body of Christ, there are many of us that have had enough. Oh, I can't get no help right there. But there are many of us that you're going to have to make some decisions, or what are you going to do with the storm that you're in? Are you going to rebuild again, or are you going to run away and say, I have had enough? Well, I've come all the way from Oklahoma City to tell you this morning that suffering is a pathway to glory. And if you don't think it is, you just keep on living. You may not be having no problems today, but you got to understand something, that back in the day, Pastor, they would let us testify. I love this church because there's some freedom here, and the saints would get up on this side, and one lady might testify and say, God has been so good, and my son has been accepted to college, and he just got married, and they just bought a new home, and everything's all peachy cream, and everybody likes that. But on this side, somebody would stand up on this side, and they would say, I have a car named Shanita. She need a starter. She need an alternator. Come on, somebody. She need a transmission, but I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got a car named Shanita. My mother had a car named Shanita. Every time we got in it, she needed something. But mama knew how to pray. She'd go down the road speaking in tongues, and that car would just take off. Amen? It's always a testimony. It's always a storm going on. But if you'll just stay the course, somebody will come and give you a car. Somebody will come and just give you some things. Amen? And so I was in with Pastor Brooks this morning, and I'm going to tell you, if you get around this man and you don't have any passion, boy, I'm going to tell you, there's something wrong with you. You cannot go anywhere with him and not have passion. And they love him in the prison this morning. And I just told him, I said, man, I just want to come and hang out. And that's the call of God in my life in a place called prison in Oklahoma City. And so I believe that God is bringing us together in more ways than one. And I want to thank this staff. And I want to thank Blake. I call Blake every now and then when he picks up. And so I call him every now and then and say, hey, how you doing? I'm going to be in the city. And so I'm here today. But what I'm going to do this morning is I want to put the body of Christ in a storm. But I promise you I'm going to get you out of it because we as Christians do not like storms. Amen. And so the Bible tells us in Acts, as you're at Psalms 107, and we're going to start at verse 107 and verse 23. But before I go over there, I want to read a verse out of Acts 17 and 28. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, for we are his offsprings. But many times, church, when we are in a storm, we forget that we are children of the Most High God. We begin to focus on the storm so much that we forget how much power we have in a storm. And so today, as we go to Psalms 107 and verse 23, it says, some went out on the sea in ships, and they were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of who? And his wonderful deeds where? And verse 25 is the part I want you to get this in your soul and get it now. It says, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest. Who stirred this up? Somebody say the Lord. Say it again. Who stirred it up? For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. Now, you got to understand something, that sometimes what's happening in your life doesn't always come from the devil. Sometimes what's happening in your life is only a test. And sometimes God will shake up your comfort zone. Sometimes God will shake you a little bit. And what you need to do is not get up and say, the devil is a part of this. The devil is not a part of everything that's going on in your life. We understand John 10 and 10 that says he come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And so I've heard it said in that a good surfer will wait for a good wave. I've heard it said that a good surfer will wait for a good wave. And so when the storms, if you know that God is shaking some things up, you just get on your spiritual surfboard and ride it out. Somebody say, ride it out. And I'm going to get to a title in just a moment, but let's look at one more verse. Verse 26 tells you what was happening in the storm. It said they mounted up to the heavens and they went back down to the depths. And in their peril, what happened? That courage did what? I'm coming to talking to every Christian today that your courage has melted away. I came to talk to that little Caesar Milk Toast Krispy Kreme eating Christian today. Come on, somebody. It's time for you to get back up and get on your surfboard. I said it's time to get up. It's time for you to stop talking about what happened last year. It's time for you to stop talking about what's going on. It's time for you to get back on your spiritual surfboard and ride it out. Because a good surfer, a spiritual surfer, will wait for a good spiritual wave to ride it out. Since the last time I've been here, my brother was just like the dearest person close to me. Since I've been here the last time, my brother was diagnosed with a tumor, a cancerous tumor in his jaw. He went to the dentist and he had a tumor in his mouth. The thing grew so big that it literally closed his mouth. He couldn't hardly eat. And in the middle of that storm, let me just go to one more verse and then I'll tell you what happened. The Bible said in verse 27, they reeled and staggered like drunk men. They were at their what? My assignment this morning is there is a place called Wits End. A place called Wits End. Say it with me. A place called Wits End. And the next verse says that they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he brought them out of their distress. And I want you to know today that if you're at wit's end today, it's time for you to call on God. It's time for you to put all else aside. And sometimes you got to say, move out of my way. You got to tell your nearest and your dearest, excuse me, Baptist, excuse me, Pentecostals, excuse me, I got to go sin for myself. That's what Nicodemus said. Nicodemus was tired of being at wit's end and being known as a religious man. He said, excuse me, I got to go see him for myself. And so there is a place called Wit's End. When my brother got the news, the first thing he said to me is he said, Jesse, is this it? And I said, no, brother, we ain't gonna roll like that. I said, that ain't how we roll. I ain't gonna let you roll like that. I said, nothing negative is gonna come out of your mouth, and nothing negative is gonna come out of my mouth in the middle of this storm. And my brother now is going to 4 treatments. He has 2 more left. And he's standing tall, he's doing well in the midst of the storm. But listen, if you're in a storm and people are giving you negative feed, you need to find somebody else. You need to find you somebody else to speak to you. And because my brother, I wanted him to be positive in the middle of his storm. You're not exempt from the storms of life. You're not exempt. I don't care how big your Bible is and how much you speak in tongues, you're not exempt. I mean, I know you can speak in tongues and still be miserable. You can come to church and still be miserable. Come on, somebody. Who wants to be saved and miserable? And so my brother, man, he's walking this thing out, and I would not let not. You know what? He calls me his doctor. I went on. You give me some Google, I'll find out some stuff. Then I say, what? The doctor said what? I said, you need to check that out. I said, God is bigger than that. The doctor told you going to do what in the middle of your storm? I said, let's go see what we got to do. He calls me Dr. Jesse now. You got to do some research. Come on, somebody. And so my brother is coming through that storm. And God is pulling him out of that storm because there is a place called Wit's End. But the Bible says that they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. We came to shut up some storms today. We came to say, peace be still in the name of Jesus today. We came to steady the water and make the water slick and smooth today. If you go out of here in a storm today, it's because you want to. And we coming out of the storm today. And I want you to understand what Wit's End is. It is a condition that afflicts all Christians at one time or another. Am I right about it, Pastor Darren? It will afflict you at one time or another. And this phrase simply means that having lost or exhausted any possibility of perceiving or thinking of a way out. You're just saying, man, I'm done. I don't know what else to do. And I can tell you right now, I don't care how much you put on your holy face, your lipstick and your perfume and your cologne, your gaiters and your eel skin boots. There are times when we get really at a place called Wit's End, right in the middle of a marriage, right in the middle of church, right in the middle of a ministry, right in the middle of a job. Jesus was in a pit. Come on, somebody. He came out of the pit. It's time for us to come out of these places called Wit's End. And how about Samson? Grinding at the enemy's camp. He was at a place called Wit's End. Powerful man of God, just like some of you. Powerful men and women of God. But here you are grinding at the enemy's meal. Grinding at sadness and oppression and depression. There was a man in prison one time. He said, preacher, can you pray for me? I said, yes, sir. What's going on? He said, I'm depressed. He was a tall fella. He said, I'm depressed. I said, brother, your pants are pressed, your hair pressed. He had a process, Pastor. You don't even use them no more. We had a process. I said, brother, your pants are pressed, you're depressed. And I said, that's way too much pressing. He was a tall fella. He was at wit's end with himself. Had to get up on a chair just to lay hands on him. I'm kind of short. And the power of God hit him and brought him out of his wit's end. He was so tall, they had to lay him down in sections. And he was just down there coming out of his wit's end. How many of us know God is still on the throne? He's still on the throne. And when he gets back up, they're standing back up. And he's looking at me like, don't do that again. Don't lay hands. I said, yep, bam. He went out again. Sometimes it takes more than 2 times of laying hands to get you out of your depressions. I'm going to mess you up right now. I want the whole church to go to Genesis chapter 6. And I'm going to mess the whole church up right now. Now, some of y'all may have seen this. But I'm about to mess you up. How many of you know that God is perfect? And that God ought not be at a place called Wit's End. But we find him today in Genesis 6 and 6. It said the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth. And his heart was what? His heart was grieved. He was at Wit's End with man. And he was like, oh my goodness, why have I made them? Why did I do this? I'm at wit's end. But what God was saying, if I can find somebody that I can make a covenant with, I won't kill him. And so God found a way to get his own self out of wit's end by finding someone he can make a covenant with. Let me tell you something. Wit's end is a place that's real, folks. How many of us remember back in the day Mighty Mouse? And there was a cat by the name of All Can Harry. Y'all remember Mighty Mouse? And it would say, Mr. Trouble never hangs around. When he hears the mighty sound, he comes to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there's a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. I just know we can't be sitting around waiting on no little rat to come help us. Huh? I used to think Mighty Mouse was Jesus, man. He was the Savior. Mighty Mouse would swoop in, and you better not mess with his little girlfriend, Mitzi. He would tear up some cats. I wish he would touch his girlfriend. He didn't play. And so Mighty Mouse would come in with these little tights on, and he would just swoop in and save the day. How about if you know we can't be trusting no mouse to help us? And then as we grew up, there was Superman. They said he was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. The infant of Krypton is now the Man of Steel. Superman having amazing powers and never-ending battle for truth and justice. Look, up in the sky, it's who? Superman. I don't know, we can't be depending on Superman with his little tight suit to come help us. I remember one time, man, my mama told me, she said, he ain't real, boy. She said, trust Jesus. And I ain't had no problem with trusting Jesus, but what I did one day is, Pastor, I went and tied one of my mama's sheets on my back. And I went climbing up on our little house in Brookshire, Texas. And went full as I can to the back of that house. And I got my little cape, it was flying in the wind, because I had on some PL Flies. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I come off the end of that house and gravity took over. And my little old holy mama come out there, I'm just laying there, just her, she tell me, mm-hmm. I told you he wasn't real. come on, somebody. We have to call on God. America needs to get back to calling on God. America needs to bend her knees in order for us to come out of our wits and experiences. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, what I'm going to do right now is I'm gonna put a little twist on this. I want us to go to Exodus chapter 14. And I want you to wait for me there. I got to show you something today. As I go take you back into Egypt. And I want you to know that God's children, the children of Israel were in Egypt. God's children were in the Egyptian camps being beaten by Pharaoh's slaves and slaving like crazy. And God sends a man by the name of Moses to bring them out of their wits end experience. I said, God sends a man to bring them out of your wits end experience. When you're here on Sunday mornings, when there's a man standing here preaching, he's preaching you out of your wits end experience. And what you've got to do is you've got to acknowledge that there's a problem, because if you don't acknowledge there's a problem, you'll never fix what's going on in your life. You have got to acknowledge that this is going on, that's going on, this is going on, and then you have got to surrender to it. And so I want to draw you a picture. Moses is called to go into Israel, called to go into Egypt and bring them out. Moses goes in, Pharaoh is now going to release the people from their wits' end. The Bible said they had been crying out to God for 430 years to the day. Pastor Mo goes in, Pharaoh lets them go. They're coming out of Egypt, they're all happy, and the Egyptians are giving them things on the way. They were giving them back pay. Come on, somebody. It was giving them that severance pay, and it was giving them I'll see you later pay. And they did not go out empty-handed, and everybody would say, "Woo, we love Pastor Darren now. We love him now, boy. We're well on our way." And so now they're on their way out, and they come up to Exodus chapter 14, verse 11. And I want you to understand something. As they're coming out of their wits end experience, they now, Pharaoh decides that who's going to pick the cotton and the corn? We need to go get them people. And so Pharaoh says, go bring them back. And so now you got the Red Sea in front of you and Pharaoh in the back of you, his army, and you got the Migdal Mountains on both sides. How many of us know that that's a place called what? That's a place called Wits End. But if God brought you out, he ought to carry you across. If he brought you out, he ought to carry you across. And so now the Bible said that when they left out of Egypt, Miriam put a choir together. They come out of Egypt singing, "What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. Angels bow before." They were having a party up in there. And said, "We're well on our way." But when they get to the Red Sea, verse 11, then they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to this wit's end or to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt?" I wonder what happened to the band. What happened to the praise and worship team? Because they're at a place called Wit's End. That's when you gotta sing. When mama lost my daddy, when I was 17 years old, my daddy was murdered, mama kept singing. You think Darren, it's been easy for him to sing, and this is why God is asking him to sing a song now. Darren, will you sing to me? Darren, will you sing me a song? And it is not about how good or how bad he can sing. God has said, "Can you sing at Wit's End?" And so now they're mad at Moses, but when they were coming out of Egypt, they weren't mad. And so now Moses is at the Red Sea. And look at verse 12. "Didn't we say to you in Egypt, just leave us alone?" And see, don't ever say that to the church when things don't go right. Don't ever say that, "I was doing all right without your God. I was doing all right without your leadership." Don't ever say that. Don't ever say, "Leave me alone." There are men and women in prison that come to Christ, and when the storms hit, they'll say, "Pastor Jesse, just leave me alone. I was better off with my marijuana. I was better off cheating and lying and stealing. Just leave me." No, you were not better off. You were not better off. Don't say, "Leave me alone." And this is what they said: "Leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians." It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. The reason they're talking like this now, Blake, is because they're at a place called what? They're at a place called Wit's End. Folks, we got to learn how to praise at our wit's end. We got to learn to praise at a place called Wit's End. We got to understand that it's a part of the journey. Suffering is the pathway to glory. And so now they're out here and they're coming across the Red Sea. And God is telling Moses, "Just hold out your staff and I'll get you across your wit's end." The staff was your wit's end too. Come on, somebody. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And so here they are coming across the Red Sea and they're happy again because Moses is saying, "The Lord is going to fight for us." How many of us know when we get happy, we start messing up? All the black people stop and want to go fishing. All the white people say, "Let them fish. We'll build a Long John Silver." And then the little Hispanics say, "If they're going to cause trouble, we are too." They start chopping off 3 inches off the donkey's legs. Moses said, "What are they doing?" He said, "They're making low riders." Somebody say, "Come on. Come on, it's about to close up. Come on, somebody." And so now when they get across the other side, listen to me. They get across the other side, Miriam puts the choir back together. Chapter 15 is a whole chapter of praise and worship. They put the choir back together. Here's what God is saying this morning to Living Waters. Sing on that side of your wit's end. He said you're singing on the wrong side. Sing on this side. If you trust me, sing at the Red Sea. If you trust me, sing on this side. Don't wait till you cross over and sing. And are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody getting this today? We've been singing on the wrong side of Wit's End. And so now they put the choir back together, Pastor. And let's go back to verse 22. And let's read that. 15 and 22. It says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. It took them 3 days to lose their joy." They come to a place called Mar, where the water is bitter. And one of the guys come running out from lookout point. They go, "Oh, Moses, we found some water, but we can't drink it." And now they're angry with Moses again. And when they came to Mar, they could not drink it. Because the water was bitter. That is why the place is called Mar. Verse 24 says, so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? What are we going to drink? We're fresh out of Kool-Aid. What are we going to drink? He just brought you out of Egypt and took the whips off your back. He just brought you across the Red Sea. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of people and drowned your enemy. And now you're asking me, what are we going to drink? Can I just say this and not get in trouble? Stop sucking the life out of your pastors. No, you ought to be giving back now. Don't suck the life out of the church and don't suck the life out of the pastor. That ain't in my notes. I just threw that in there. It's time for somebody to stand up and know who you are. And so they're grumbling at Moses. 3 days it took them to lose their praise and worship. Now let's look at verse 25. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water. And the water became fit to drink. Let me show you something. Every step of the way, God had an answer to that wit's end experience. Every step of the way. Now think about this. Here's a piece of water lying by a pool of water, Marah. No worms ate that piece of wood. No wood chopper found it and hauled it off. No storm blew it away. Nothing moved it. It was not desirable to anything. No rodents, no ants, no ant eaters, nothing. It was there because it would be a part of getting them through their wits end experience. That's why it was there. And when you think about wood, you think about the cross. Come on, somebody. That's why it was there. You go and lock into the cross, things get a little bit sweeter. Come on, somebody. And so they throw the wood into the water, and it sweetens the water up. And now they're well on their way again. They're happy again. They can sing again. Miriam can now put the choir back together. I'm drawing a picture to someone. We've cried and complained and moaned on the wrong side of wit's end. We put our finger in God's face on this side of wit's end. And you know, my brother was headed that way. And I said, no. We're not going that right. Mama didn't raise us that way. I've got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. The same God that brought you through is a God that can carry you through. Now watch this. His son has been in prison for 3 years. I'm talking about my brother. And now my brother is sick and he's going through a storm. And guess what? My brother's a business owner. And now Pastor Brooks prayed over my brother. Never knew what was going on. Prayed these words. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Never knew what was going on. And right now, my brother's son has stepped up to the pump and taken the company to a whole nother level. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My brother just sits at home and money just comes in. Residual income in the middle of his storm. It's just rolling in. And his son is just walking around. He's so proud. I just gave him a hug. I said, boy, you had to grow up, didn't you? I said, all that stuff your daddy did for you, you didn't know that God, you was going to be the answer to his storm. He didn't know he would be the answer to my brother's storm. One of the answers right there. And the company says he's holding it down. He came in the other day and had the company check that they had sent to my brother so we could pay him. And my nephew was just grinning because he knew he had made a big check. We ought to be blessed. Amen. See, he never knew. And my brother was all complaining about my little nephew. He said, man, I'm so tired. I said, I know. But look now what God did. See, God has got an answer. He never knew that my nephew would be the answer. He would be that piece of wood at the end of his wit's end experience. It was something that he never heard of. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't figure it out. We would have never thought that my nephew would step up from his silliness and take on some manhood. Are y'all hearing me today? And so now, I want you to look again how we are as Christians, and we got to stop being and moaning and complaining at wit's end, because somebody say, God has an answer for me. Verse 25, it says, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them, and he put them to the test in verse 26.
He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, not what you want to keep, but all of them. Somebody say everyone, everything. He said, keep all of them. And then he says, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. And here's the part that I want everyone to focus on again. Check out verse 27. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped near the water. Right down the road was their stuff. If you just keep going, there's healing right down the road. If you just keep going, there's a blessing in your marriage right down the road. If you just keep going, your children are going to do right just right down the road. If you just keep going, there are promotions right down the road. If you just keep going, there's a ministry for you right down the road. If you just won't get it discouraged, there's something for you down the road. Somebody say a place called Wits End. I came to bring you out of your wits end this morning. I came to talk to you and tell you that you're not exempt from the storms of life. There's a man that came up today and he's full of himself. He said, my daddy was mean and I did some things. I'm tired of me. And my daddy was mean and he mistreated my mama. And now I've got some issues and I'm tired of me. He came to the altar being tired of him, Pastor Darren. You can't get tired of your neighbor. Your neighbor don't care that you're tired of him. He told me to tell you. You can't be over here getting tired of your neighbor. Get tired of you. Oh, it's quiet up in there now. Oh, I love me, brother. God loves you too. Now, I want y'all to hang on to your seats because I'm going to take you through the whole Bible in just a few minutes. And I want you to grasp how wonderful God is. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm going to give you 66 reasons to come out of your wits' end, because God has already been there. Are we ready? In the book of Genesis, he is the breath of life. In Exodus, he is your Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is Moses' voice. In Joshua, he is salvation's choice. In Judges, he's the lawgiver. In Ruth, he is your kinsman's redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In 1 Kings and Chronicles, he is sovereign. In Ezra, he is a true and a faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is a rebuilder of broken walls and dreams. In Esther, he is Mordecai's courage. In Job, he is a timeless redeemer. How many of us know that at 12:01, it's a new day? I may have cried all night long, but at 12:01 in our culture, it's a new day. I might have started in the, it's so dark I can't see my hand, but it's a new day. At 12:01, he's your timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he is our morning song. You need to get a new song. You need to stop singing sitting on the dock of the bay. Looks like nothing's going to come my way. Stormy Monday, and don't look like Tuesday is going to be a bit different. Oh, it's quiet up in there now, huh? Some of y'all going to have to sing, what am I, the God we serve? Are y'all still here? In Proverbs, he's wisdom's cry. In Ecclesiastes, he's a time and a season. Somebody come to the piano. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover's dream. I said, in the Song of Solomon, he's a lover's dream. In Isaiah, he is a prince of peace. And don't women like shoes? Don't you like shoes? I'm talking to the women right now. Don't you like shoes? Well, he say, put on the shoes of what? The shoes of peace. And I'm going to tell you right now, women, you can't drive on the freeway without them shoes on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In Jeremiah, he is weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he's a cry for Israel. In Ezekiel, he is a call from sin. In Daniel, he was a stranger in the fire. In Hosea, he is forever faithful. In Joel, he is the Spirit's power. In Amos, he is the arms that carry our church. He is the arms that carry you. He's the arms that carry your family. He's the arms that's carrying your job and your future. In Obadiah, he is the Lord our Savior. In Jonah, he is the great missionary. In Micah, he is the promise of peace. In Nahum, he is our strength and our shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he's pleading for revival as he is today. In Haggai, he restores the lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's a fountain. And I'm begging you to get under it today. In Zechariah, he's a fountain, I said. And I'm telling you, it never runs out of resource. In Malachi, he is the son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is God, he is man, he is Messiah. In the book of Acts, he is the fire from heaven. In Romans, he is the grace of God. In Corinthians, he is the power of love. In Galatians, he is the freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, he is our glorious treasure. In Philippians, he is the servant's heart. In Colossians, he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is our Trinity, our Godhead. In Thessalonians, he is our soon coming King. In Timothy and Titus and Philemon, he is our mediator and our faithful pastor. He is the one that goes to in between the attacks on your life to the Father. He is your mediator. Are y'all still here? In Hebrews, he is the everlasting covenant. In James, he is the one who heals the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is our shepherd. In John and Jude, he is a lover coming for his bride. And I want you to hold on, because America has lost revelations. In the book of Revelations, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Son of Man. He is the Lamb of God. He is the great I Am. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is our God, and he is our Savior. He is Jesus Christ the Lord. And get this, when time is no more, he is. He's an awesome God. If you right now, I want you to bow your heads with me today. And you know in your heart, the first call is for salvation. And you said, preacher, I need Jesus. I've walked away. My wits and experiences drove me to a sinful life. I want you to raise your hand and stand up right now. If you said, preacher, I need repentance. I need to come out of my wits and experience. My wits and drove me to a place of sin and shame and degradation. If that's you today and you're standing up, and listen, I say thank you back there. Thank you. If that's you today, I'm talking about coming home. I'm talking about rededicating your life and coming out of your hatred and your anger and your displaced mannerisms. If that's you today, you're saying, preach, I need Jesus. I need to rededicate my life. I can't live like this no more. I'm like those inmates out at that facility that said, I'm sick and tired of me, myself, and I. If that's you today, if you stood up, I want you to come right now. Come on down. Pastor Jesse is going to help you. We're going to get you some help. You're coming out of your wits end experience today. And let's give them a hand as they come.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out colw.info.